Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Stop whatever you're doing. Listen up. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Okay, you don't have to go that far. Besides, it's more fun to watch Dan Abrams on MSNBC. No, stick around, please. Joining us in our second hour will be a fascinating, I hate to use the term politician, candidate for the United States Senate from Oregon, an un-politician who comes highly recommended by one of our staff, our unpaid staff, Bridget, our writer in residence. His name is Steve Novick. He's running for the U.S. Senate from Oregon. He's the only junior high school dropout to be accepted into Harvard School of Law. And he has the best political campaign ads I've seen since the late, great Paul Wellstone. While you're waiting for Mr. Novick to join us, you might want to go to YouTube.com, type in his name, Steve Novick, N-O-V-I-C-K. And there's a whole bunch of campaign emails and other stuff that will come, videos that will come up. Check them out. His website is novickforsenate.com. He'll be our guest next hour. He's one candidate you might want to watch. And Kathy and I were looking at some of his campaign commercials today, and his sense of humor is so reminiscent of Wellstone, Paul Wellstone. It's incredible. Check it out. Under the heading of Our God is Bigger Than Your God and Has Better Weapons, to prove it, I got this from Prairie 2. You know, before I share his email with you, Cheney was in the Middle East yesterday. We said last night, Cheney's been flitting around the Middle East from Afghanistan to Iraq to, where else did he go? Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and more reports today of U.S. warships going through the Suez Canal heading for the Persian Gulf. We may not be getting ready, not we, but the people that own the United States of America, Inc., may not be getting ready to drop nukes on Iran, but they are getting ready to use the bunker buster bombs that will flood the atmosphere with nuclear radiation when they hit these nuclear facilities. Not bomb-making plants, of course, but plants that the Iranians would like to use for energy production. So they say, because they don't want to do oil, because they know it's finite, because they know it's polluting, so, oh, never mind. But anyway, Cheney has been wandering around the Middle East, calling together as many of the undead as he can from these ancient sites, ancient burial grounds. During the day, he goes to visit people like who? Hamid Karzai, or Ehud? What's the Israeli? Barak? Ehud Barak? I can't keep all these Semitic names separate, whether they're Israeli or Arabic. King Abdullah, the Shah of this place and the old man of that place. It's hard to keep them all straight is the point. But he's been going around to all these different heads of state, letting them know that something's up. Well, Prairie 2 writes, Mike, a newspaper in Saudi Arabia printed a story the day after Cheney was in town informing the people that their government was making preparations to mitigate the effects of the radiation from the bombing of Iran's nuclear plants. Chocolnuts has about 50 bunker buster nukes. I don't think they're nukes, Prairie 2. Maybe they are. You can correct me in a subsequent email, but I think they're just massive bombs. Let's call them bunker buster bombs right now. And if he restricts himself, Prairie 2 writes, to just using these weapons, the death toll will be between 1 and 3 million, depending on the wind that day. Bunker buster nukes, huh? Tactical nukes? Okay. Prairie 2 goes on, this type of weapon produces an incredible amount of radioactive fallout for its size, since it burrows into the ground before exploding, then expelling a jet of vaporized, highly radioactive material, hundreds of tons of it. Another 35 million people would be contaminated enough that it would dramatically increase their risk of cancer and other diseases. If any of the targets are inside cities, the death toll will be even higher. The fallout cloud will spread north and east, contaminating Afghanistan and the former Soviet countries that we now want to pump oil from. Putin has hinted that he won't tolerate this. The right-wing talking points are that not only will Iran sit there and take this, but they will then replace their government with a pro-American one. Our God is bigger than your God, and we've got the nukes to prove it. In other words, or in other news, the Pentagon accidentally shipped 4 missile nose cones to Taiwan, including the nuclear triggers, the part that is really, really hard to make. You got to wonder, how many did they ship to, the other China? Are those bunker buster bombs nuclear? I know we have developed small tactical nuclear weapons. Don't you love that? It sounds like, you know, a small puppy, a little cuddly, you know, a small tactical nuclear weapon, warm and fuzzy, you know, the kind you can have in your neighborhood and everything would be cool. But I thought the bunker buster bombs were the ones that we've already used a couple of them in Afghanistan. Usually when we use these, there is an earthquake somewhere within the radius of about 1,000 miles from where they're exploded. Because if there are fault lines that are about to go anyway, one of these sons of bitches would just, that's it, man. Whoop, tectonic plate slide, here it comes. But we don't care about that. And then this is from Kay in San Francisco, who is temporarily in Washington, D.C. She says, hi, Mike. Today I took the Malloy workout program to the mall here in Washington, D.C. Since the weather was so gorgeous, I decided to do a running tour of the monuments. Armed with my trusty iPod Shuffle and last night's edition of your program, I was off. As I reached the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, you were just starting the sound clips from Too Much Cappuccino Perino's press conference. As I came back down the steps and turned to enter the Vietnam Memorial, Ditsy Dana was making the claim, quote, most of the families of the fallen that he meets have one request of the president, which is, do not let my loved one sacrifice me in vain. The president assures him that he's committed to staying and fighting and winning, but he definitely feels the loss. He always pauses a moment to offer a prayer, end quote. Mike, it was too much for me. Standing there looking at the names of 50,000 Americans who did sacrifice in vain, I was immobilized. As a teacher of history, Santayana's quote about those not learning from history being condemned to repeat it has become a cliche, but today as I stood at that wall, its truth became glaringly real. It was surreal to stand there while listening to Legally Blonde parroting the types of statements made by other White House spokespersons nearly 40 years ago, statements that made the 50,000 names on that wall possible. The thing is, I have not lost a loved one in either of these military conflicts. I cannot imagine what it is like for the families of those who have sacrificed all for a goddamn lie. Whether that loved one's name is on that wall currently standing here in Washington or on the one that will be filled with the thousands of names of those who are dying at the hands of this evil Bush crime family. Kay. In San Francisco, temporarily in Washington. She's in Washington with a group of her students on a tour of various institutions that show how the government used to work, or how it was supposed to work. Rush Limbaugh has the uncanny ability to violate the law at will and get away with it. He instructed some of the more stupid members of his audience, to commit perjury by falsely swearing when they signed over from being registered Republicans to registered Democrats in Ohio. He also suggested the stupid heads do that in Texas and now Pennsylvania. This is, I believe it's called suborning perjury, and it is a felony. The Secretary of State in Ohio, I believe, or the Director of Elections, is taking a look at this. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
The Game. Men who were fighting for all of our lives are now fighting for children. Homes and the wives fighting for the memory of all who fell before.
But the soldiers of peace just can't kill.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey, right? With Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. All right, so here it is again. Radio comedian Rush Limbaugh is taking credit for Clinton's continued presence in the race after encouraging Republican voters to switch parties before the Ohio and Texas primaries. And he's now calling on Republicans in Pennsylvania to do the same thing before their state votes April 22nd. According to RawStory.com, Limbaugh's listeners are worried about an election fraud investigation all of a sudden, which could result in criminal charges for voters in at least one Ohio county. Now, MSNBC's Dan Abrams, who comes on right after Keith Olbermann, says the right-wing radio nutbag's aim is, quote, to subvert democracy and inject dirty tricks into the Democratic nomination process. Abrams goes on, I've said it before, I think it's un-American to encourage people to vote for a candidate they don't want to win in order to corrupt the process. But in Ohio, it may also be illegal, end quote. And then he went on to discuss an investigation in Cuyahoga County, which includes Cleveland, where the Board of Elections there is launching an investigation into crossover voters to determine whether any are guilty of election fraud, which is a felony. And the results of the investigation are going to be released March 31st. In Cuyahoga County, the newspaper there, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, which tried to make sure that Dennis Kucinich was defeated, the Plain Dealer reported that a staggering 16,000 Republicans switched parties to vote in the March 4th Democratic primary. Now, some of these halfwits openly acknowledged their intention to meddle with the opposing party by writing messages on their registration that says, for one vote only. Now, those are pledges the voters are required to sign indicating they will support the party whose primary they're voting in. You know, that's the rule here in Atlanta or here in Georgia. I'm a Democrat. If I want to influence the Republican primary, I can cross over and vote in the Republican primary. But then in the general election, if I'm going to vote, I have to vote Republican. In Ohio, you sign a pledge that says you're going to you're actually, honestly, legitimately making the change of parties. But of course, being the lawbreaker that he is, the drug-addled death lawbreaker that he is, Limbaugh suggests to these morons, go break the law. Go break the law for me! Limbaugh also says he now has operatives in Pennsylvania registering Republicans as Democrats, so they'll vote for Clinton. Now, Cleveland, Ohio election board members say they will release the results of the investigation before the Pennsylvania primary. And if there is voter fraud in Ohio, it's punishable by up to a year in jail and a $2,500 fine. Sandy McNair, a Democratic member of the county's election board, told the Cleveland Plain Dealer, I'm looking for evidence. I'm not interested in witch hunt, but I am interested in holding people accountable, whether they're Democrat or Republican. All right. Can we squeeze this in? Okay, let's do this. This is Limbaugh and one of his bedazzled listeners who now is afraid she has her ass in a vice. Listen up.
He's at it again. Rush Limbaugh trying to subvert.
Well, this is Dan Abrams. This is a setup. Go ahead.
Into the Democratic nomination process, encouraging Republicans to vote in Democratic primaries. He did it in Ohio and Texas, and now he has his eye on Pennsylvania.
Don't forget Pennsylvania. You left it out there. We have operatives who are registering Democrat up until March 25th to vote for Hillary in Pennsylvania. It is happening there, too. Operation Chaos, Rush the Vote, exceeding all objectives.
Cuyahoga County Board of Election, actually, I'm a little nervous, might be prosecuting voters.
That's an empty threat. They have to prove. They have to prove people lied. It's this. Look at this. Is just a bunch of Democrats reacting to tricks played on them, like they play on everybody else. They're lashing out with threats. I wouldn't worry about it. We're just making trouble here, folks. This is part of Operation Chaos. If they indict me, there's no chance. First of all, this is freedom of speech. Second of all, you can vote for anybody, anytime, for whatever reason you want. It's private.
It's also private to do OxyContin if you want to, pig man. But you can't get your housekeeper to go into the parking lot at Denny's and buy it from a street peddler. That's against the law. As far as freedom of speech, Pigman, look, you have the freedom of any kind of speech you want, but what that refers to is the Constitution, that the government shall make no law restricting freedom of speech. Ha ha, isn't that a joke? But Pigman, listen up. Oh, you silly doofus, you silly doofus. It's one thing to advocate your game. It's something else again to suborn perjury, which is what you've asked some of your brain-dead Cuyahoga County, Ohio listeners to do. And now they're getting a little nervous, Pigman. Aren't they going to be thoroughly pissed off when they have to pay a fine or they go to jail? Huh, Pigman? But that's all right. It's fun for you, you Jabba the Hutt. Why don't you get... Look, you're really gaining weight. You got to get back on the OxyContin. What are you up to now? 400 pounds? Ah!
They think I'm nuts. I am a cyst on the ass of humanity. New Republican slogan, read my text. From the bowels of Adolf Hitler comes the voice of Rush Limbaugh. In closing, let me say that each and every day, I'm an evil, rotten, egotistical snob.
Border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
Wow, it's just getting so insane. Do you feel it? Do you feel the madness? And what is up with Hillary Clinton? Jesus God. The lies. Hillary is just digging herself a deeper and deeper hole. What was it I heard today? In order to make sure she gets the nomination now, she wants to, her campaign wants to consider the electoral votes of the states she's won versus the electoral votes of the states Barack Obama has won. Son of a bitch, what is going on? Hillary, it's a primary. It's a primary, and you are losing. This is the part I don't understand about Hillary supporters. Hey, listen, let me give you a news flash, all right? There were at one time 7 or 8 Democratic Party candidates. They went through all this process. The voters, the goddamn voters have decided they want Barack Obama. What is wrong with you Hillary Clinton supporters? It's one thing to be dedicated to your candidate. Good for you. But she's being defeated. She's been defeated. Why are you doing this? Why are you not sending her emails and telegrams saying, Hillary, get out now. You lost. Ah, and the lies. John Nichols writing at The Nation online. Clinton's campaign this year is a critic of NAFTA. Despite the fact that the deal was promoted and passed during Bill Clinton's presidency, and despite her own long record of praising NAFTA's so-called benefits, Despite all that, Clinton has been claiming on the current campaign trail that, quote, I have been a critic of NAFTA from the very beginning, end quote. That's a lie. It's like sniper fire in Bosnia. It's a lie. As Nichols points out, in truth, she was an advocate for NAFTA within the Clinton White House. White House records released last week confirmed that Hillary Clinton spoke on behalf of NAFTA and participated in strategy sessions organized to figure out how to gain congressional approval of an agreement that was opposed by labor, farm, environmental, and human rights groups. Remarkably, John Nichols writes, the Clinton campaign continues to claim that Hillary Clinton was a fifth columnist quietly promoting a fair trade agenda within her husband's militantly pro-free trade White House. Clinton campaign spokesman Jay Carson claimed in a conference call with the reporters last week, well, Senator Clinton was pushing back. What? She was not pushing back. The executive director of the United States Association of Importers of Textiles and Apparel, Laura Jones, was at the meeting, one of these meetings. She tells ABC News that it is ludicrous to suggest that Hillary Clinton was a half-hearted backer of the trade deal that has cost the United States hundreds of thousands of unionized jobs, hobbled whole industries, saddled the country with record trade deficits, undermined protections for workers in the U.S. and abroad, and forced Mexican farmers off the land and into the immigration stream. Jones says there was no question that everyone who spoke, including the First Lady, was for NAFTA. It was a rally on behalf of NAFTA to help get it passed. I never really believed that I would see the kind of naked ambition displayed by Hillary Clinton. This is astonishing. It's astonishing. And it doesn't make any difference. As of all people, I had quoted my mini blog today, David Brooks, for Christ's sake, a Republican conservative writing in the New York Times. But his column this morning was, it was a little gothic, a little bit over the top. But go to my website, go to MikeMalloy.com, go to NovamRadio.com, read the blog, read the mini blog I wrote. You'll see what I'm talking about. What David Brooks wrote. Now, Brooks, of course, Brooks is over the top, unlike me, who is always in control. Hillary's foreign policy memories. What did she say the other day? On Thursday, March 28th, Hillary, she lied about NAFTA. Now, what else? Hold on. In her book, Living History, Clinton wrote eloquently about a key speech she made in Beijing, China, an effort to show she's willing to get tough on China. Prior to the speech, though, Clinton recounted in her book, she took a briefing from State Department officials and was even given intelligence information. But her schedule for the period doesn't show any such briefing, according to who? Oh, ABCnews.com. And then there was this. Senator Clinton has made much, this is from the Wall Street Journal online, has made much of a September 1995 speech she delivered in Beijing in effort to show she's willing to get tough on China. I'm just repeating myself. Both ABC News and Wall Street Journal have this. She said in her book, Living History, that she was briefed by the State Department and the Secret Service in advance of the speech, and was even fed intelligence information during those discussions. The schedules don't reflect any such briefings, however. But the lies about NAFTA, the lies about Bosnia, the lies about, oh, she said that she went to, what was this new one about her trip to Africa? Josh Epstein, who writes the Joshua blog, oh, where in the hell is it? Yeah, here it is, that she had made a that she went to Africa with Ambassador Joe Wilson. But the time frame that she cites, Joe Wilson was nowhere near the State Department in any capacity. This woman is losing it. She's going out of her mind. And let me tell you, she's dragging you Clinton supporters with her. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to goad you. I'm not trying to say, hey, my candidate won. Barack Obama's not my candidate. My candidates are not in the race anymore. And in a weird kind of way, there's a part of me, call it perverse, that doesn't give a damn who it is, Clinton or Obama. But why do you have to allow Senator Clinton pass after pass after pass on her lies? She's out of her mind. She's like, what's his name, McCain. They're both nuttier than fruitcakes. Why are you supporting her? I've listened to some of you people, not listened, but read your emails, whining and bitching the same way I've whined and bitched for 7 years about the lies that have come out of the Bush administration. What, you want more? You want a candidate who has a record that is easily accessible, that shows you're lying, and yet she continues. Come on! This has nothing to do with Rush Limbaugh. And what's the new one today with Obama's out of town? Hillary saying she wouldn't have chosen Mr. Obama's pastor. Did you see this today? Up to this point, Clinton has been saying, the Clinton campaign has been saying over and over again that the Jeremiah Wright thing, that's up to Obama and his campaign. But all of a sudden today, with Obama out of the country, Clinton drags this out. Why? Well, to get the spotlight off her about Bosnia, about NAFTA. So now she goes after, she says, well, you know, you can't choose your family members, but you can choose your pastor. And she says she wouldn't have chosen Mr. Obama's pastor. You know, we just went over this the other night. Clinton chose to hang out with a group in and is a part of a cell of a group in Washington, D.C., called by various names, the Fellowship or the Family. A network of sex-segregated cells of political, business, and military leaders dedicated to spiritual war on behalf of Jesus Christ. The Fellowship, this is Hillary. This is Hillary's gang in Washington. The Fellowship believes that the elite win power by the will of God, who in turn uses them for his purposes. And the guy Doug Coe, she described in her book Living History, her first encounter with Doug Coe at a 1993 lunch with her prayer cell at Cedars, the Fellowship's majestic estate on the Potomac. Coe, she writes, quote, is a unique presence in Washington. A genuinely loving spiritual mentor and guide to anyone, regardless of party or faith, who wants to deepen his or her relationship with God. Mr. Coe's Fellowship's long-term goal is leadership led by God, leaders of all levels of society who direct projects that they are led by the Spirit. When Jesus talks to you in your ear, or God tells you to invade Iraq, and she's talking about Barack Obama's pastor? Oh, for God's sake!
Talking about
be afraid. Be very afraid. It's more Mike Malloy.
Ted, before the hour, am I screaming? Yeah, I'm screaming. Clinton supported a ban on flag burning with Senator Bob Bennett, Republican of Utah. You remember him. And funding for research on the dangers of video games with Senator Brownback and Senator Santorum. She also joined a group, the Republican a group of Republicans on legislation that redefines social justice in terms of conservative morality. And that means what? Having sex with children or what the hell is conservative morality? That's a contradiction in terms. It doesn't exist. With Santorum, Clinton co-sponsored the Workplace Religious Freedom Act. She didn't back off even after Republican senators like Arlen Specter pulled their names from the bill because they had concerns that the measure would protect those refusing to perform key aspects of their jobs, like, oh, I don't know, pharmacists who won't fill birth control prescriptions or police officers who won't guard abortion clinics. Hillary Clinton had no problem with that. She also championed federal funding of faith-based social services. You know what that means? Put this squirmy right-wing Christianity into every aspect of your life. She also supported the Defense of Marriage Act. Uh-oh! In her 1996 book, It Takes a Village, she writes approvingly of religious groups' access to schools, lessons in scripture in the schools, and what she refers to as virtue making a return to the classroom. Force virtue, virtue of a certain kind, not virtue as defined by Sikh holy men, not virtue as defined by Buddhist monks, not virtue as defined by Jewish mystics, but virtue as defined by Christian thugs like Rick Santorum and Sam Brownback. That kind of virtue. Now, I'll ask again, what the hell is wrong with you people who support Hillary Clinton? What? I'm serious. Do you want this? Or do you think this is a joke, that really she is a fire-breathing liberal a la Mother Jones or Paul Wellstone or somebody who is just trying to fool everyone so she can get elected and get the Oval Office so she can then unleash Eleanor Roosevelt? Are you serious? Hillary Clinton is driven for the power, period. Give me the power. The only way she can defeat Barack Obama at this point is by destroying his candidacy. He has won, whether you like it or not. But she's not going to stop. I can sit here and scream until my vocal cords tear. Doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. And I guess one of the reasons I get so, she wouldn't have chosen Obama's pastor. Ah, oh, son of a bitch. I mean, that was the frosting on the cake today. I had told myself, I'm not going to revisit this Obama-Clinton thing again, because I'm just over it. But, you know, while this senile warmonger, John McCain, is wandering the world, giving the appearance of being a president out on tour. Back here in the States, we have a Democratic Party for whom this election should have been a cakewalk. But Hillary Clinton, after Super Tuesday, they had no plan after Super Tuesday. That was it. It was going to be decided. It's all over. Only it's not. And she lost. And she can't win. So by God, she's going to bring the Democratic Party down. She doesn't care. It's me or nobody. And some of the people around her now have totally, completely lost it. Maybe it's because of what they dealt with towards the end of the 90s with the impeachment and the absolute ripping to pieces of the Clinton presidency. Maybe that's why James Carville is absolutely out of his mind with his statements about Richardson. I've never heard such a thing. He's a Judas, and when he's called on it today, he said, yeah, that's what I said. You're right. That's what I said. Damn right. I stick to it. What's wrong with it? Fits perfectly. Judas? And if Richardson is Judas, like we said the other night, what does that make Hillary? Jesus?
Oh. She may not want to go to Barack's church, or wouldn't be her pastor, but God, I wouldn't have whatever tailor she's got altering those boxy blazers. What is wrong with that woman's clothes? She needs a stylist worse than Al Gore ever did. It's horrifying. I just had to say that as a woman. I like her hair. Her hair looks very stylish. Her clothes are terrible. If I see that blue shamrock scarf one more time, I mean, what is she, a leprechaun? She's got to get rid of that thing. She ought to get sniper fire just for the scarf. She needs to go on What Not to Wear. I'm serious. They ought to do the whole What Not to Wear.
You mean Bosnian? Of course, you mean Bosnian sniper fire. Be careful, Kathy.
What did I say?
Never mind. Serious? Never mind. Don't say it again.
I'm in Bosnian.
The NSA already has everything on tape.
I'm sorry.
So there we have it from the woman's point of view.
Forget the preacher, man.
She needs new clothes.
She needs to go to Talbot's.
Talbot's.
Something. She needs help.
During the break...
The Gap, Banana Republic, something.
During the break, if you would, go to Novick, N-O-V-I-C-K, Novick4Senate.com, and check this guy out. We're going to talk to him when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Yeah, welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for hanging around for another hour of madness here. We're going to take a break from the madness here for just for a few moments anyway and talk with our always rare occasion on this program to have a guest. Our guest tonight is Steve Novick, who is running for the Senate in the state of Oregon. Steve, hi. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, I really enjoy... I have to tell you, I went to your website, novickforsenate.com, and that was pretty cool. But then a mutual friend of ours sent me a couple of your campaign 30-second spots, and I thought they were funny as hell. I mean, you've got a great sense of humor. You remind me of Paul Wellstone in that regard.
Well, it's... Interesting you should say that, and I'm, of course, deeply honored by that. But, you know, we were using really good folks to do our advertising.
Oh, it's great.
We decided that we should take a look at who else has helped elect a short Jewish underdog to the Senate in the last 20 years.
Well, I especially
there were
like...
Wellstone's people and Russ Feingold's people, and actually it's the folks who've always done Russ Feingold's advertising.
Really?
Like Baum and Associates in with Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who are helping us out.
I'll be darned. Well, the one that is kind of the parody on the old To Tell the Truth television program I thought was really... that's good stuff. That is good stuff. There is so much... to be negative and scared and worried and screwed up about right now, it's nice to see somebody who can approach all this with at least a part of a sense of humor. And I realized, you know, before the program, I strongly recommended that people go to your website and just check it out, especially the voters in Oregon. Anyone else who wants to go there, who wants to make a contribution to this man's campaign, I strongly recommend it. How did you get into Harvard Law School when you had dropped out of high school? That
Well, it was actually kind of junior high school that dropped out.
Junior high school.
When I was in, ninth grade is junior high school in Oregon, or at least it was in Cottage Grove, the small town where I grew up.
Right.
And when I was 14, the voters kept on refusing to pass a budget levy. And at one point, there was no school for a few months. So I started taking classes at the University of Oregon, which is right down the road in Eugene. And after a while, I asked them if I could just stay. And it was the 70s. They were very mellow about it. They said, sure, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
So I wound up being at the U of O when I was 14, graduated when I was 18, and then went off to Harvard Law School. So if the voters had passed a budget levy that year, probably none of that would have happened.
Yeah, well, when I was 14 to 18, of course, I was in high school. That's a great story. I love stories like that because they so go against the grain in kind of a productive, interesting way. People can go to your website and find out your position, but on various issues. But tell us, just kind of free association here, where you stand on so many. I mean, we're swamped. I wouldn't know where to begin, Steve, to ask you about your position on certain issues, because there are so many that are staring us in the face right now that I'm just wondering how in the world we're going to undo the damage of 8 years of Bush.
Well, and there were issues we weren't working hard enough on even before Bush.
That's true.
Say.
That's true.
I mean, it seems to me that we've got five. Well, you could have a much longer list, but to me, you need to deal with the health care system. I mean, we need to figure out a way to make sure everybody has health care and to control costs. Every other industrialized country in the world does that better than us. We need to follow their lead.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to do it quickly before the baby boomers retire. I'd vote for a single-payer plan if we can get it to the floor of the Senate. I think John Edwards' plan was also pretty darn good, and we need to bite the bullet and do that. And we need, in addition to extending coverage, we do need to control costs. For one thing, it's time we ended the tax deduction for drug companies that do direct-to-consumer ads on TV. We shouldn't be subsidizing drug companies for convincing us to buy drugs we don't need.
Let me ask you about that. We have in place right now a system that's available to people over the age of 65, Medicare, that it is not only cost efficient, but delivers remarkably good medical care because it has nothing to do with decisions made by doctors. What it does is pay after a doctor makes a decision on treatment for a patient. And it pays, what, I think 80% in most instances, and it's up to the consumer to get the other 20% together one way or another. But here it is. It's in place. Why not just simply make this available? And I think that there's a premium. I'm not sure what it is. But if you take Medicare coverage, it comes from your Social Security. Why not make that available to everybody?
We should make that available to everybody. But we do got to realize that even within Medicare, costs are rising, and we could take some steps to control that. Costs vary wildly in different regions of the country, and nobody really understands why. And even within Medicare, we could use a dose of what our former Governor John Kitzhaber calls evidence-based medicine, more research on, for a given condition, what's the most effective and cost-effective course of treatment, and reimburse folks based on what the evidence shows reasonably you should be doing, although, of course, there's always going to be outlier cases.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's obviously one big issue. The other big issue is global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take a lot of work to address global warming. We need to make investments in mass transit, in developing renewable energy. There was a great article in Scientific American a couple of months ago that outlined a $420 billion 40-year plan to get to 70% solar electricity. And that's a big investment, but, you know, it's less than we're spending in Iraq. And we also need to figure out how we're going to pay for some of this stuff. And to me, we need to go back to the basic principle of progressive taxation.
Mm-hmm.
We had a time in this country from the 30s to the 70s where wealthier folks paid their fair share of taxes.
Right.
And some of them didn't even complain all that much. You remember E.A. Filene, the department store magnate in the 30s who was a big FDR fan. Somebody asked him once, "Mr. Filene, why do you support FDR? He's raised your taxes through the roof." And Filene said, "Why shouldn't the American people take half my money from me? After all, I took all of it from them."
That's right. And don't you just love to go to Filene's basement?
Yeah. I mean, it's a tribute to an American hero. One of the things I've talked about in this campaign is we need to get past, I know there was an historical reason for it, but somebody who makes $1 million a year only pays Social Security tax on the first 100,000. We've got to change that.
Sure.
And people who make their money buying and selling stock pay a lower tax rate than people who work for a living. Mm-hmm. We've got to change that, too.
What about the idea of corporations getting back in the game of instead of setting up P.O. boxes offshore and declaring that to be their legal residence to avoid paying everything from not just taxes on corporate earnings, but also payroll taxes, employment taxes, contributing to Social Security fund. How do you stop that?
We need through international treaties and through just prosecuting fraud. I mean, we need to go after these companies. And I mean, one of the most outrageous things that my opponent, Gordon Smith, has done is he was the prime sponsor of a special tax break for multinational corporations that have money stashed overseas. Because, you know, under basic, you know, even if you're not going through great lengths to avoid taxes, American corporations' profits overseas aren't taxed until they bring them back home. Mm-hmm. So it's an incentive to make money or pretend you're making money overseas. Gordon Smith pushed through a bill to give those corporations a one-year tax holiday to allow them to bring the money home and only pay a 5% tax rate for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tax break that gave one drug company, Pfizer, $11 billion, which, as I point out in the stump, is enough to get any corporation excited with or without Viagra.
Oh, yeah.
And the promise was that they would bring the money home and create thousands of jobs. Well, Pfizer's laid off 10,000 people in the past few years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Who are you facing besides or in addition to, or is it only Gordon Smith?
There are some other competitors in the primary. There's a state representative.
Oh, you do have a primary to get through.
We do have a primary.
Okay.
There's a state representative who's running, who's getting a lot of support from the national Democrats, Chuck Schumer. And Chuck Schumer is just outraged that Oregonians are thinking about nominating somebody other than his chosen candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And he's running a very cautious, you know, by-the-numbers campaign. He can't stand the idea that people who make $1 million a year should have to pay Social Security tax on all their income. He attacked me for it, just the way, I have to say, Senator Clinton attacked Barack Obama for the same idea. And, I mean, a few weeks ago, we had a dramatic example of what a cautious campaign they're running. Gordon Smith, along with 46 other senators, signed a letter to the Department of Interior saying that they should end a 70-year-old rule and start allowing people to carry loaded guns in national parks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm real familiar with that one. Hey, let me put you on hold a second, Steve. We got to do a break here. We'll come back and chat some more. We're talking with Steve Novick. He would like to be senator, one of the senators from the state of Oregon. Check out his website, NovickForSenate.com. We'll be right back.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you I am the bees.
21 past the hour, we're talking with Steve Novick, who is running for the Senate from the state of Oregon. Go to his website, Novick, N-O-V-I-C-K, Novick for Senate, that's F-O-R, Senate.com, and get all the information. A couple of specifics here, Steve, if you don't mind. The financial meltdown that we're facing in this country now that seems to be interlocked. I keep reading Paul Krugman in the New York Times every morning that he appears and just get more worried and more worried about what is going on here. What can the U.S. Senate do to either correct the situation we're in or to strengthen the laws that I thought were on the books from the 30s, from the Roosevelt years, to prevent just this sort of thing from happening? What's it going to take?
Well, I mean, if people probably were reading the Times over the weekend. I mean, Barney Frank himself just found out recently just what a huge difference there is between banks and these other financial institutions that have become huger and huger players in the economy, where you have, for instance, a $45 trillion market in something called credit default swaps, which is completely unregulated.
Right, I see.
And,
yeah.
I mean, what Barney Frank is saying is you need to, these investment banks, need to be regulated. They need, for instance, to have reserve requirements like regular banks do. And we need to take a look at this casino economy that's developed and get it under control. I didn't realize until this weekend that a lot of analysts think that the reason the Fed moved to save Bear Stearns was that they were afraid that if Bear Stearns collapsed, there would be a collapse of this $45 trillion credit default swap market that most Americans have never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have this horrible situation in this country where the best and the brightest are diverted towards this casino capitalism model rather than actually doing work, you know, trying to rebuild an economy that'll work for us, rebuild the manufacturing economy, build the post-fossil fuel economy, and there's definitely room for government regulation. And it's Krugman was saying, in the 30s, we discovered that the market isn't always right, and people can behave crazily, and we're seeing the same thing play out now.
Yeah, and when these new financial instruments are invented out of thin air, and the heavy players run toward them, but they drag with them people who take, for example, a subprime mortgage, or someone whose retirement fund is tied up in what they thought was a safe IRA, which now winds up in some kind of a sliced and diced investment instrument that winds up in some province in China. This is madness. This is absolute madness.
It is absolute madness, and it's really appalling that they take steps to, I mean, probably they had no choice but to take steps to arrange this takeover of Bear Stearns and back it with public money, or at least maybe they had no choice. But why haven't we reformed the bankruptcy laws to allow bankruptcy judges to adjust mortgage terms in bankruptcy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the simpler proposals that has been pending for the past several months.
Do you think the U.S. Senate can work toward righting the wrongs that have been perpetrated by some of these, as you point out, casino capitalists?
Well, certainly in terms of changing the bankruptcy laws, that's something we can do. And, I mean, Sheila Bair, the head of Bush's FDIC, proposed looking at adjustable-rate mortgages and just freezing in the initial starter rate and telling the lending companies, listen, we're dealing out some rough justice. We're trying to prevent foreclosures.
Sure.
You're stuck with that original rate. That's something you can do. But then, obviously, you need some serious regulation to get this thing under control so that you don't see the same sharp practices in the future. I mean, you need to require the lenders to act in the best interest of the borrower, to make a real determination if people are going to be capable of actually repaying the loan. I mean, there's a whole lot of requirements you can impose.
Mm-hmm. Steve, there's just a whole list of things. I wish we had more time. I'm hoping people can get it at your website. Your position on the occupation of Iraq, your position on the occupation of the occupied territories in Palestine, the horrible situation between Israel and Palestine, which seems to be never-ending. How to deal with these two monstrous emerging economies, India and China, that are going to just absolutely suck up whatever remaining fossil fuel resources are involved. I'm assuming
how to develop a rational trade policy.
Yeah.
So that we're not encouraging a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
I was very proud to march in Seattle in 1999. The WTO rally, but the policies haven't changed. We also need to start holding the Democratic leadership accountable. I mean, I obviously was very proud to have Speaker Pelosi and Leader Reid, but we have seen too much weakness on warrantless wiretapping, on extending the war, on tax policy. We need to get a little backbone in the Senate. And we need to, you know, I still mourn the loss of Paul Wellstone. We've been saying that this campaign we're running is the Wellstone campaign on steroids because we have the advantage of the internet, we have the advantage of progressive radio stations that we didn't have as many of back then, and we're taking advantage of that to run Paul's campaign, but to run it on a bit less of a shoestring.
Well,
and I hope I'll be echoing his voice in the United States Senate.
That would be something I think a lot of people would hope for. Steve, we'll talk again. Seriously, Steve Novick, novickforsenate.com. Steve, take care. We wish you the best, and we'll chat again, okay?
Thanks so much, Mike.
All right, take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
I'm ready.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's More Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. Prairie 2 writes, regarding that question I had for Steve Novick, is there anything the Senate can do to stanch the bleeding that the Bush crime family and the corporatists have brought us where it concerns the financial market? Prairie 2 writes, in 1999, Clinton and the Republicans repealed the 1933 Glass-Steagall Act that separated commercial banking from the securities business. The current banking crisis is a direct result. I haven't heard Hillary say she lobbied against that. She was probably busy tracking Osama bin Laden as the leader of a Navy SEAL team. Oh, you are so sarcastic. Oh, my God. What did Senator Clinton say today? She misspoke, which only proves she's human, contrary to what some people might think, or I'm paraphrasing. But, oh, my goodness, is that any time for that kind of sarcasm? After, I mean, just repeated lies about so many issues. I'm sorry, all you Clinton supporters. I really am. Shoot the messenger. Stop listening to the program. Send me an email and say you're finished with this program because I'm a Hillary basher. I don't know what to say to you. I really don't. I really don't. Got an email here from Jesse. I've never been to Live Science, livescience.com website, and I went there and looked at some photographs. The article is about, here's what it says. A vast ice shelf hanging on by a thin strip looks to be the next chunk to break off from the Antarctic Peninsula. The latest sign of global warming's impact on Earth's southernmost continent. Scientists are shocked by the rapid change of events. Glaciologist Ted Scambos, University of Colorado, was monitoring satellite images of the Wilkins Ice Shelf and spotted a huge iceberg measuring 25 miles by a mile and a half that appeared to have broken away from the shelf. Scambos alerted colleagues at the British Antarctic Survey that it looked like the entire ice shelf, about 6,000 square miles, about the size of Northern Ireland, is on the verge of collapsing. David Vaughan of the British Antarctic Survey had predicted in 1993 that the northern part of the Wilkins Ice Shelf was likely to be lost within 30 years if the warming on the peninsula continued at the same rate. He made that warning 15 years ago. The scientist said, Wilkins is the largest ice shelf on the Antarctic Peninsula yet to be threatened. I didn't expect to see things happen this quickly. The ice shelf is hanging by a thread. We'll know in the next few days and weeks what its fate will be. Now, of course, that won't raise, obviously, it won't raise global sea levels because this ice already sits on water. But this is pretty astounding. This is fresh water that is going into the, never mind. Nobody really cares. I don't mean you, truth seeker. You know what I mean. What else we got here? I want to do some phone calls. The number here is 800-989-1480. Cheney yesterday said Iran is developing a uranium enrichment program strictly for military purposes. I'm telling you, something bad is going to happen. I kept thinking that, even these sons of bitches can't be this insane as to launch a strike against Iran, whether it's non-nuclear mega bombs or small tactical nukes is kind of immaterial at this point. Well, it's not immaterial because the nuclear weapons will result in millions of people dying. Are they capable of doing that, the Bush crime family, of launching that kind of a strike against a country that has done nothing? Oops, what am I saying? But you understand what I mean. This is insane. Is Israel capable of being a partner in this kind of a triggering event that could take millions upon millions upon millions of lives and cause a rift between the U.S., China, and the Soviet Union that will never, ever heal? And there we are. Then we have Eurasia, East Asia, and Oceania. We have it then. Then we have our 1984 scenario. There it is. This is starting to, on an increasing exponential level, starting to freak me out. I mean, this has always been in the back of my mind, but I always figured, well, we have William Fallon there, who is the cork in the bottle, or the lump in the throat, or whatever, who will not let this happen, and now he is to be gone, and Cheney, this ghoulish son of a bitch, has been wandering around like Bunko's ghost in the Middle East, threatening and shaking his chains, and anyway, yesterday, Cheney, in an interview with ABC Television, said, quote, obviously, how is it obvious, you murdering bastard? Obviously, the Iranians are heavily involved in trying to develop nuclear weapons enrichment, the enrichment of uranium to weapons grade level, end quote. Cheney, of course, didn't mention on what he based this accusation. It's because, you know, all he has to do is make himself invisible and fly into these underground Iranian labs, and he's, you know, he can see what's going on, and then he just, you know, passes through stone and mountains and walls and comes back, and Jesus God. Tehran is still insisting its program is peaceful. Well, yeah, but Saddam Hussein insisted he didn't have any weapons of mass destruction either, huh? Huh? Oh, that's right. And then the article that several of you have sent this to me, and I quoted at the beginning of the program about the Saudis are preparing for sudden nuclear hazards. Cheney in Saudi Arabia for high-level meetings last Friday with the king. And on Saturday, it was revealed that the Saudi Shura Council, that's the elite group that puts into play the decisions of the dictatorial inner circle. This is why Cheney and Bush love these bastards so much, even though they sent 15 of the 19 bombers, if you want to believe the official story, to come to this country and murder 3,000 people. But that's all right. Business is business. Anyway, it was revealed that the Saudi Shura Council is preparing national, quote, national plans to deal with any sudden nuclear and radioactive hazards that may affect the kingdom, following experts' warnings of possible attacks on Iran's Bushehr nuclear reactors, end quote. That's according to one of Saudi Arabia's leading newspapers. Man. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? What are you going to do? What's going to be your reaction if we get up of a morning and find out that George W. Bush has launched an attack against Iran? What's your reaction going to be, huh? Man, these people are really starting to freak me out. But impeachment's off the table, so the Democratic Party leadership has given them the green light. Go ahead. Go ahead. Alan from Sacramento sends us this email, why I can't vote for Obama. Mike, I voted Democratic in all state and national elections since 1980 when I turned 18. This is going to be the first year that I'm going to vote for a third-party candidate from either the Socialist USA Party or the Peace and Freedom Party. The reason I can't vote for Obama is something that happened in one of the early Democratic debates. Dennis Kucinich asked who would go along with impeachment proceedings against Bush and Cheney. And the only Democrat other than Kucinich to raise his hand was Mike Gravel. Obama stood there like the Republican light Democrat he is and didn't raise his hand. Yeah. And John McCain? Here you go, very quickly. September 29th, 2002. John McCain on CNN said, now, let me back up 5 days. September 24th, 2002 on CNN, McCain said regarding the Iraq war, I believe that success would be fairly easy. 5 days later on CNN, he said, I believe that we can win an overwhelming victory in a very short period of time. August 22nd, 06, on CNN, McCain. The American people were led to believe that this would be some kind of a day at the beach, which many of us fully understood from the very beginning would be a very, very difficult undertaking. You lying, senile son of a bitch. What are you talking about? You said it would be an overwhelming victory in a very short period of time, and success would be fairly easy. They all lie, don't they? Huh? And then January 4th, 07, a year ago, McCain said, I knew it was probably going to be a long and hard and tough. And those that voted for it and thought that somehow it was going to be some kind of an easy task, and I'm sorry, they were mistaken. Maybe they didn't know what they were voting for. Whoops. Now, wait a second. 5 years earlier, you said, I believe that success would be fairly easy. And you said, I believe we can win an overwhelming victory in a very short period of time. McCain, you filthy punk-ass liar, you. You Republican liar. My God, between you and Hillary and George Bush and... your phone calls when we come back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Not by our hands will we supply the weapons and funding for the annihilation of families on foreign soil. Not by our mouths will we let fear silence us. Not by our hearts will we allow all peoples or countries to be deemed evil. Not by our
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's about 10 before the hour. As we mentioned, I think last night, there was a report in the UK press about a U.S. nuclear sub passing through the Suez Canal to join the U.S. fleet stationed in the Persian Gulf. And we also mentioned the Egyptian, we kind of laughed, remember, that Egyptian officials ordered their forces to be put on high alert when the Navy convoy was passing through the canal. That for some reason, it just cracks me up. You know, it just cracks me up. There's only one reason Hosni Mubarak is the dictator of Egypt, and that's because of our money and our support. And... you know, Mubarak, the Egyptians, I think, for the most part, are Sunni, right? Just like the Saudis are, just like the Kuwaitis are. And the Iranians and the Iraqis are Shia. Have I got that right? So the slaughter of, 15, 20 million Iranians would be no big deal. Plus, they're not Arab. They're terrible, terrible, arrogant Persians. And there is a difference, right? But the idea of Hosni Mubarak ordering the dictator of Egypt ordering his forces to be on high alert, like what does that mean? What was your plan? If that nuclear sub would have launched 6 or 20 of those Trident missiles, just sent them straight up in the air and then straight back down on your ass and your government's ass, Hosni, what were you going to do? Order your soldiers to jump on the sub? What? You know what? Anyway, this deployment comes amid all these reports about Cheney over there trying to drum up war. This guy really is from the deepest bowels of hell. Cheney is. He really is. And I'm beginning to believe that they are going to do this, that they're going to do it. That Cheney and Abrams and Armitage and Negroponte and Bush and the rest of these monsters are going to do it. They're going to launch an attack on Iran. My question is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Somebody asked me that. What are you going to do, Malloy, when you find out that we are now dropping bombs, nuclear or otherwise, on Iran? What are you going to do? I don't know. I doubt if I will be on the air that night, because I wouldn't be able to. I would not be able to sit here and constrain myself to the degree that I do. And I would probably wind up in jail for threats that I'm sure would come tumbling out of my mouth like so many Easter jelly beans. So if it does happen, if we do attack Iran and I'm not on the air that night, you probably wouldn't be listening to this program that night anyway. You'd be watching television. But if that should occur, I'm just telling you, I will not be here. Not that night. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Phone calls. John is calling from San Francisco, listening on the internet. Hey, John.
Yeah, Mike, I'm really terrified about this prospect myself. And I think what would happen with the Democrats is a lot of them would be on their feet cheering, just as they did when Bush invaded Iraq. Yeah. A lot of others would be making excuses for it, and a lot of Obama and Hillary supporters would be making excuses for those excuses by Obama and Hillary. I think one of the greatest Trojan horse Vichy quisling dangers is the Democratic Party, who have enabled Bush to continue this this war mm-hmm. and this plan to attack Iran, this disastrous plan. Both Hillary and Obama have said we must keep the military attack against Iran on the table.
Yeah, they have. They have.
And with this kind of a situation developing, I mean, people like Gravel, who you mentioned at the debate, just was stunned. He turned around and looked at all of them and said, "Are you guys crazy?" And of course, those types of Democrats and Dennis Kucinich must be eliminated. They must be banned from the debates, driven off, and even opposed by their own party. And people like McKinney, who was also opposed by the Democratic Leadership Council. These guys are phonies. And the danger is that I find so many people making excuses for their collusion with Bush. I think people have got to gather information like Paul Street on ZMAG.org, ZNet.org, or possibly WSWS.org, mm-hmm. because this whole disguise, this wolf in sheep's clothing that I think especially Obama represents with many deluded people, is probably the most dangerous, because he will much more slickly sell this kind of imperialist policy, and we all know that McCain is a
all right, you really think Obama is worse than Hillary?
I'm saying not worse. I'm not making any comparisons between the same as Mad Dog McCain. Everybody knows he's a mad dog, psychotic warmonger.
Right.
Hillary, voted for the war. She's been supporting every kind of national
right.
security scaremongering around and even endorsing McCain over her Democratic opponent. That he's a wonderful
right.
guy. He knows he's got the chops when it comes to national security. And Obama, I think, is dangerous in his own way, because people think that he's something that he's not. And I really believe, endorsing, as he does, a military attack on the table against Iran, and not coming out openly and opposing this practical doomsday plan, along with all of their support for the hundreds of billions of dollars that he and Hillary have given to Bush, the fact that they've said gone along with impeachment is off the table. They even in John Conyers' office arrest Ray McGovern and the veterans professionals for sanity of top CIA officers, and Cindy Sheehan and John Conyers has them arrested when they want an answer. Why aren't you impeaching these incredible crimes of the Bush administration? And he says Fox News would attack me. That's the best kind of mealy-mouthed justification these Vichy quisling Democrats can come up with. We're on the verge of a real catastrophe here.
John, I've got to leave it there. I hear you though, loud and clear, John. I really do, and I'm glad you called in. Always good to hear from you. Take care, John. We'll talk again. We shall return after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. 7 past the hour. Welcome back. Mike Malloy here on NOVAM Radio. Yeah, that's right. The Egyptian Navy was put on alert because a U.S. Cargo ship transporting military equipment fired on a civilian boat, killing a teenage boy and wounding two others. That part of the story, of course, got buried. You didn't hear that much about it, did you? And it completely slipped my mind. It was kind of like the "I'm coming to you" situation in the Persian Gulf. These little trader boats, they call them, they swarm around transport ships that use the canal, and they're harmless unless you're the U.S. military, in which case, you know, you have the USS Cole in the front of your mind, so you decide, okay, I think I'll just kill everybody on these little boats, blow them out of the water. And that's what happened, I guess. That's what brought about the state of alert. One email, and then we're going to go to your calls. This is from Daniel in Portland. Mike, I'm writing to share with you my thoughts regarding what I believe we as liberals should do or can do regarding to help reverse the track we're on toward more war, more death, and less freedom. Come Election Day 2008, we cannot stay home. We must vote and be counted. If things continue the way they are going and the Democratic Party is not an option, I implore you and my fellow listeners to write in Kucinich or vote Green, something, anything to be counted. Just don't sit this one out. While it may feel insignificant, imagine what it would be like if, given a clean election, there was 10% or even 50% going to someone besides each party's chosen person. Something to think about. Sincerely, Daniel in Portland. I agree. I get very frustrated sometimes and talk about just, you know, to hell with it, I'm going to sit it out, maybe for the first time since 64. But I don't mean that. When I get off the air and I think about what I said, I just think, oh, Jesus, what a stupid, you know, what really, Mike, what a dumbass thing to say. Because I'm not going to sit it out. I will cast a vote, a ballot, for some candidate. And if I really walk in that voting booth and decide that can't do it this time, where it concerns Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, then so be it. Somebody else will get my vote. Back to your phone calls. Mike is calling from Chicago, listening on the Internet. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Have I mentioned how much tonight I hate these people?
You just did.
For everyone who's listening, first of all, okay, Hillary misspoke. Well, misspeaking is if I was to say I was driving 40 miles an hour and I was driving 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think
if
so.
If I wasn't driving at all, then that becomes a lie.
That's right. That's
you know, right. The S-chip, the peace talks in Ireland. Does anyone remember she had no security clearance? So all that is washed away, but no one happens to bring that up in the news media.
Yeah, members of the Irish government now, I guess, or the UK, the people who are involved in those talks, are trying to diplomatically point out that she's lying about that, too.
But no one brings this up. Here's a perfect example. Dan Abrams, if anyone gets a chance tonight, the show Verdict, 3 a.m. Central, 1 a.m. Pacific, 4 a.m. Eastern time, he brings up, he calls out Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh
right.
says, Dan Abrams, you said you're in the process of pursuing legal prosecution against me for inciting voter fraud. Bring it on. Dan Abrams says, quote, unquote, Rush Limbaugh, you've got a deal. I am now going to pursue these alleys. Anyone who gets a chance, watch that tonight.
Well, no, wait a minute. Finally, we had some sound from Abrams' program last night. We had the sound of Limbaugh egging his listeners on to commit voter fraud in Pennsylvania the way they did in Ohio. But you mean on tonight's Dan Abrams program, what, Limbaugh called him?
Yeah, he calls him out on his show, and he says, oh, Dan Abrams, you're saying that I'm committing voter fraud? Well, bring it on. Let's see what you've got. Bring it on. And Dan Abrams looks into the camera and says, Rush Limbaugh, you've got a deal. I am going to pursue legal avenues against you for voter fraud.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Limbaugh did not call Dan Abrams' program.
Oh, no.
Okay.
He called him out on his show.
Right, I got you.
Yeah. And for everyone who says if Clinton's elected or Obama's elected, you know, for the Democratic nominee, I won't vote. Remember this. The next president will not only be the deciding factor of the presidency, but for the Supreme Court also. And that should have enough weight behind it. You do not want a Republican Supreme Court. I think we've seen what happens when you have a Republican Supreme Court. All your rights will be thrown out the window, and no one remembers that also.
Well, don't we have that now? I mean, how did George Bush get elected in 2000?
Right.
It can only, or selected, I should say, it can only get worse. And besides, I'm not convinced, Mike, that Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama will be any different from George Bush or John McCain, and I mean that. I'm not trying to be flip. You listen to this program.
Yeah.
You know my position on that. So
yeah.
isn't it time to walk into a voting booth in our respective states and take a look at third or fourth or fifth party candidates and decide, okay, I'm going to vote my conscience this time, not the lesser of two or three evils. I'm just asking. Isn't it time yet or no?
I would love to, but you know, I mean, we would be naive if we actually believed that a third party candidate in our lifetime would be able to get a nomination. I think that there's just so much political force and so much money behind the two mainstream candidates that we would be farting in the wind if we tried that, you know, and I'm just being a realist, you know.
But if the Democratic candidates are the same as the Republican candidate, and that's an if, but certainly from when I read what these candidates are about, I don't see a hell of a lot of difference. If that is the case, that they're pretty much the same, then your vote really isn't counting anyway.
Right. And having Diebold behind it, it really doesn't matter anyways, like you said.
Well, is it time for armed revolution?
I think we're so close to someone actually just, you know, saying enough is enough. I really think that one day something is going to happen, and I don't back it, but I think that someone will one day just say enough is enough.
Do you think an attack on Iran or the first use for the second time in our history of nuclear weapons against another country is... Would that be enough to set off that kind of reaction in the U.S.?
Well, listen to the Tom Hartman show today, and he has a guest on there who said right now we have bombers flying over Iran 24/7, and they said that the minimum damage would be 3 million dead within a month, conservatively 1 million dead in a month. All it has to do is Bush saying, okay, no Supreme Court, no judicial process, just, you know, right now they're in the air. Anyone who gets a chance, listen to the rebroadcast of the Tom Hartman show. It is as frightening gets.
Well, what do you think, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but what do you think your reaction would be to that, Mike?
I would have all lost hope in the United States government, to be honest with you. I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to say I would wait until that moment, because I think that there would actually have to be an uprising in the streets with people with torches and pitchforks. And unless that happens, I would have lost faith in the complete system, and I would have to move. That's the only thing I could say, you know, because the shoulda, coulda, and wouldas, I don't want to believe that it would happen. Mm-hmm. But if it did, I think that, you know, well, Nancy Pelosi's out the window. Anyone who claimed, you know, they sang a good song to get into office, but no one's doing anything that they promised. I think that I would actually have to wait and see. I gave it a chance. I can't give it any more chances. How much worse can it get? That's what it boils down to.
I got you. Mike, thanks. You know? So it's good to hear from you.
Mike, take care. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care of yourself. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Open your eyes. Time to wake up. Enough is enough. Is enough. Is enough. Open your eyes. Time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes, talk to my trust. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes.
Taking the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. I saw a disturbing video tonight. Steve sent it to me. It was taken over the weekend, I believe this past weekend. People in favor of independence or freedom or autonomy for Tibet demonstrating, trying to demonstrate in front of the United Nations in New York City, just being beaten to a pulp by American police, not by Chinese police, but by American police. If you go to YouTube and just do a search on Tibet demos, New York City, you may find it. There's a curse word in the title, and therefore I can't say it on the air. But if you just check Tibet demonstrations, New York City, I think you'll find it. It runs about, if I remember right, it runs about 7 minutes. But it is a, somebody had a camera, might have been a cell phone camera, but took this video of New York City police just beating the bejesus out of these demonstrators who are in trying to demonstrate peacefully. These are not people, you know, tipping over garbage cans and setting fire to stuff. These are people trying to march from some point to the United Nations. And then when they got there, how they're attacked by the New York City police. I mention this because if there is a launch of an attack on Iran, and the American public does respond by hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people taking to the streets, which I fully expect would happen, then that triggers all of this, all these directives and executive orders that Bush has signed over the past 5 or 6 years. They all come into play. And directives and executive orders that were signed during the Clinton years, too. Let's not kid ourselves here. And they all come into play. State of emergency can be declared very simply if that sort of an event occurs. Now, this was a lesser version of this was put into place during the Reagan Bush 1 years by Oliver North, where it concerned our murder and mass killing in Central America. Particularly what was going on in Nicaragua with this phony group of CIA operatives that we called the Contras, and Ronald Reagan said were the moral equivalent of our founding fathers, when they were nothing more than murderous sons of bitches who had no problem executing children, nuns, priests, social workers, people that wanted to bring water into villages by building digging wells. These are the people that the Contras murdered, with the deep and abiding thank you from the Reagan administration, Reagan, Bush, Oliver North, John Negroponte, Elliot Abrams, the whole gang that is trying to get us into another war in Iran, only this time with tactical nukes. This is horrifying. I don't know. I don't. Sometimes I wonder why people listen to this program. I say the same stuff every night. It's just on and on and on. What my English teacher in high school used to call unnecessary repetition. Beware of unnecessary repetition. And here I am, all these years later, just immersed in it, up to my eyeballs. Repetition, every single night. But the business about Barack Obama and Iran, on September 12th, 2007, in Iowa, he made a fairly clear statement. We may have that for you a little bit later in the program tonight. Shell is calling from Snowflake, Arizona. Listening on the internet, Shell, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. This is Shell up here in Snowflake.
Yeah, Snowflake, Arizona, huh?
Yeah, I just wanted to call because you were talking about Hillary saying that she wouldn't have chosen a pastor like that.
Right.
And I had to laugh because just today I read an article in Alternet from the Utica Observer Dispatch in Oneida County, New York,
mm-hmm.
about her Reverend William Prokanik, who was convicted on January 22nd of first-degree sexual abuse and endangering the welfare of a child.
You're
a
kidding
seven-year-old
me.
Child.
Oh, my God. This is Hillary Clinton's pastor from,
right.
from back in Illinois?
Of, yeah. It's from the Assembly of, where is it? Resurrection Assembly of God.
Now, are you talking about
Kirkland Avenue?
You're talking about when she was in Arkansas or in Illinois?
No, this is Resurrection. It's Utica. Utica, New York, I guess. Where she goes now.
Oh, where she goes now?
Yeah.
Now, where is this? What's
it's,
alternate?
The Utica Observer Dispatch is where the article came out, and it was on the alternate news.
Alternate.org, I guess it is?
Yeah. And
right.
It's from Steve Reynolds, the All Spin Zone, and he wrote this article. He says, you know, I don't believe that Hillary has nothing to apologize for her pastor, but at the same time, neither does Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she doesn't have any control over what her pastor does. But I don't think she should be saying, I wouldn't have chosen him.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's very true. Especially when you think about who Hillary Clinton has aligned herself with in Washington, D.C., this National Prayer Breakfast, which is nothing more than a front organization for Christian Reconstructionists who truly want to replace the rule of law in this country with biblical rule from Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and some of the Old Testament law books. So,
well, I think it's just kind of a, you know, somebody stating their opinion and all the spin that has come off of that, that Reverend Wright, oh, what a horrible person, and yet nothing said about this child molester.
Yeah, well,
it's okay to be a child molester, but not have an opinion.
We just pulled it up right now. Alternate.org. There's the article. All right, yeah. I'll check it out. Thanks a lot, Shell. I appreciate you checking in, okay?
Yeah, this is my first time calling. I started listening because of you.
Bless your heart. Well, call us again.
All right, thank you.
All right,
bye.
Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
I look for Jesus all my days, and on the prairie or in the city. I'll help him round up all the strays.
Turn on your night when you turn off your light. Go to bed with Mike Malloy every night on Nova M Radio.
25 before the hour. Here it is. It appears, this is from alternate.org, it appears only the Utica, New York newspaper is covering the story. The rest of the mainstream media is silent. Perhaps the story isn't divisive enough for the mainstream media to take notice. Of course, it is unfair to blame Hillary Clinton for her former pastor's abuses, just as it is unfair to blame Barack Obama for Reverend White. Right. Still, that means the mainstream media is far more enamored of condemning Obama for his Reverend Wright's tirades about 9/11 and race than it is concerned with the plight of a 7-year-old girl abused by Hillary Clinton's former pastor. This is from the Utica Observer Dispatch. When the Reverend William Prokanik put his hand on the Bible during his sex abuse trial in Oneida County Court earlier this year, he swore to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. But as the former Clinton pastor was sentenced last Friday to 3 years in prison for inappropriately touching a 7-year-old girl at his home last March, the judge said Prokanik sacrificed his honesty the day he testified. The judge told Prokanik, the 54-year-old former pastor of Resurrection Assembly of God Church, quote, as a minister of God, you got on the stand and you lied, end quote. A jury found him guilty January 22nd of first-degree sexual abuse and endangering the welfare of a child. And then the writer at Aldernet writes, let me be clear here. Hillary Clinton has nothing to apologize for, nor should she feel tainted because her former pastor, William Prokanik, has been convicted of sexual child abuse of a 7-year-old girl. By the same token, Barack Obama has no responsibility for the words of Reverend Wright, nor for the words of his successors in the pulpit, and so on and so on. Thanks to Shell for pointing this out. No, I've never heard it. I haven't heard this story. Have you? Hell no. So when Hillary Clinton gets out there like she did today and says, I wouldn't have chosen Reverend Wright for the pastor, would you have chosen a child molester, Hillary? For Christ's sake, how far is Senator Clinton willing to go to put the rope around her own neck? But you see, we're not supposed to talk about the other case. Here's someone who's been convicted and sentenced to prison for something. Hillary and Bill Clinton's pastor sentenced to prison for child sexual abuse. Barack Obama's preacher made some statements that essentially are true. Now, who's going to drag out the Hillary Clinton's pastor story? Who's going to bring it out? Huh? Is it going to be on Hardball tomorrow? Is it going to be on MSNBC's Morning Joe? Is it going to be on Wolf Blitzer's program? Who is going to bring this story out? The sentencing was 4 days ago. Who's going to bring it out? Hillary Clinton's pastor has been sent to prison for child sexual abuse. Barack Obama's, you know, I'm still seeing these goddamn videos on television of Reverend Wright, with his arms flailing and his voice rising. They're still doing it. And I don't think it's necessarily because media is after Barack Obama. I think it's because the sons of bitches want to ignite a race war. That would make great TV coverage, wouldn't it, you filthy pigs, huh? It's just unbelievable, this stuff. Now, Steve writes in there, Cheney has his casus belli, as my Latin teacher used to say. We have it now. Remember the attacks on Easter Day, the rocket attack against the Green Zone in Baghdad that Petraeus came out and categorically stated was the result of efforts by Iranian operatives, Iranian weapons, Iranian. Well, an American financial analyst working there died of his wounds today from those attacks. Casus belli. There it is. Hold on to your ass, truth seekers. And I'll hold on to mine. Back to your phone calls. Robin is calling from Oxnard, California, listening on KTLK. Robin, welcome to the program.
Howdy, Mike.
Hey.
We spoke a couple months back. My boy just headed out to Iraq. My daughter's husband, actually.
That's right. I remember talking to you. What have you heard from him so far?
No, nothing just yet. I was just calling to tell you that the alert that they sounded out or whatever there in the Suez Canal was just what you were talking about earlier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People like to approach those merchant ships and try to board them and see what they can get from them.
Right.
And they also knew that those weren't just your ordinary merchant ships, so they were going, look out, the lead's going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
But as for all of these Hillary supporters, I've heard that whole sermon that Pastor Wright did.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it from beginning to end. And the gist of the sermon is this. God does not change. Governments do. And that's all he was saying through that whole thing, if you listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this whole thing is, like you said, it's just meat for the news media to mess with us and, you know, actually distract us from what really needs to be discussed.
Right, right.
So, you know.
Well, I hear you, and I certainly agree with what you're saying. When do you expect to hear from your son-in-law?
Any day now. Any day I should be getting him on MSN. But let's see. As far as what's going to put people in the streets,
uh-huh.
if we hit Iran, it's going to put people in the streets. And I'm going to be breaking out my old military hardware. And God pity the man that tries to come and remove it.
I hear you. I hear you, Robin. I hear you. All right, take care. And stay in touch with us. Let us know what's going on with your son-in-law, okay?
Will do, Mike. Keep it lit.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Take care. Ah. Vic is calling from Cedar Creek, Texas, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Vic.
Hi, Mike. Hey, the reason you're on the air is to express to the world with satellite radio the frustration that America feels with its... It's hard to even call them leaders. How about with a small L? I can imagine what the German people felt like during World War II, maybe the Japanese people during World War II. You know, not everybody in those countries was signed on to the Hirohito's and to Hitler's destruction and
mm-hmm.
war on many fronts. But they had to bear the fruits of that war, like we're bearing now economically. People came and bombed the crap out of, you know, Germany and Japan and defeated them militarily. Well, it doesn't look like that's going to happen here unless those pukes in the Pentagon will march over to the White House and take those criminals in the White House into custody, which might be the only thing. But I think reality check is that the only thing that's going to save us is like what Abraham Lincoln says, is America won't be destroyed from the outside, it'll be destroyed from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that an economic collapse might turn the thing around. But you and I, nobody's going to believe it's going to come from the ballot box, not with the riffraff we got running now. We got Hermann Göring running in the Republican Party because McCain, if these guys were in trial in Nuremberg, he would be one of the top leaders that would be on trial. I mean, it's amazing we have a war criminal on the same footing with Göring and Goebbels and the rest of them.
You're talking about what he did in the Vietnamese War.
No. I'm talking about what they're doing now.
Oh, I see.
You know, the attack on Iraq.
No. I thought you meant John. I thought you said John McCain.
I did say John McCain.
But he's not been. I mean, he's voted for these resolutions and the money. I'm not seeing where he would be. I'm not trying to defend him. I think he's a psychopath. But
yeah, well, he's a co-conspirator, and he promulgates. He continues to support it and talks about having war for 100 years. I mean, I could see his little fat butt in a Nazi uniform. You know.
Well, I get you there. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. If these guys were if the United States were to defeat us, so to speak, as in World War II, these guys would be put on trial a la Nuremberg style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing that we have a war criminal who's running for president. That's how low we've sunk in this country. And again, thanks for, you know, being on the air and expressing what we can't. Because they got the F-16s and the M-16s, and we got, what do we got? You know, deer rifles and bows and arrows. We can't do anything about this.
And Nova M Radio. All right, Vic, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. All right, take care. We'll talk again. We got a break here? Yeah, we do. All right, we'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. It's 10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew, engineer Ian Huff, technical director Billy Foster, podcast manager is Ben Birch, our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota, our resident philosopher is Bob Alexander, our writer in residence is Bridget Wolf, our executive producer is Catherine Bay. And we'd certainly like you to become a Nova M founding member. Go to NovaMradio.com and get the information about it. It's $100 a year, $10 a month. Free downloads, all sorts of... are we giving away hand grenades yet? We're not? Not yet. Okay. Shirley is calling from St. Paul, Minnesota, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Shirley.
Hi, good evening.
Hey.
You're a lifesaver, but it is so many issues, so little time, but I'm going to go back to the one that was my issue when I called, and that is no matter how bad the Democrats look,
mm-hmm.
I have to go with the lesser of the two evils because of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an election this fall, that's where I have to go. Until we can get instant runoff voting or something comparable, and I really do think there is going to be people are going to be in the
street. Well, but you know, this is the question I have about that. We the Democratic Party has had the wherewithal to stop these right wingers who have been nominated by Bush and confirmed to the Supreme Court, and they didn't do it. Why are we to believe that with a Republican light president, a corporate choice, a faux Democrat in the White House, why are we to believe that president will nominate someone who is a true liberal, and why are we to believe that the Republicans won't stop it the way the Democrats should have stopped these right wingers?
I'm with you 100%, but that's the only hope I have right now. I have to hang on to something, and it's until we have a revolution, I think that's where we're at, and have to hope that at least on some issues, they will be better I agree wholeheartedly that they should have stopped those. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do. I don't like it. I think we're going to have people in the streets. I'm 70 and I will be.
You sound certainly as frustrated as I am, maybe even more. I don't know what the hell to do, Shirley. You know, I really don't. I can't get on this program and advocate the kind of direct action that might get someone's attention like in the Democratic Party, that we, the American people, are sick of this. By the same token, even advocating that direct action, I'm not even sure that there would be enough response.
That is frightening. That is frightening. I talk with a lot of people. I raise issues they're all the same. We can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
We've got to try.
Oh,
I don't know. I appreciate your passion. I appreciate that you're on the air. I don't get to listen to you live very frequently because I'm in Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't think we're on up there until midnight to 3 a.m. or something.
Right. Yeah. But I'm serious. I'm in the car and I happen to... be driving and listen to you and whenever I can. Thanks for doing what you do.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. But I'm sure you're aware that so much of this program comes from listeners, the information that we get, the articles that are fed to us, the comments that come in, the emails, so on and so forth, including yours. So thanks a lot, Shirley. I appreciate you being there, okay?
Take care.
All right. You too. Ay-yi-yi-yi-yi-yi-yi. It's difficult. These are difficult times for people who have a sense of ethics, a sense of what constitutes real morality, what constitutes proper action by the United States where it concerns commitments we've made to the international community. These are rough times, aren't they? They really are. They're extremely difficult, not knowing from one moment to the next what these psychopaths in the executive branch and their enablers in the legislative and judicial branches are going to pull next. Actions that are not supported by the American people to any degree. When you discount the psychopaths, the babbling bobbleheads who listen to Limbaugh and go out and commit perjury where it concerns voting in a primary, those people have to be discounted. They just have to be. They are influential way beyond their numbers. simply because the vast majority of this country allows that to happen. But I, you know, I get to the point where I'm at a loss. That's why sometimes I wish I were Tom Hartman. Hartman always seems to have answers. And Rachel Maddow, she always seems to have answers too. You know, I sit here and just twirl with these questions. I don't know what the hell to do. I really don't. But anyway, we'll take a shot at it again tomorrow night. So, Catherine, do you want to start the music? And we'll say goodnight. Do take care. And I mean that in the essential sense, but also in however you want to interpret it. Keep it lit. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.